Thank you for downloading or podcasting this track. This recording has been remastered to provide the best sound possible given the audio environment of the original recording session. Mosaic Silver Spring is a faith community located just inside the Capitol Beltway in Montgomery County. For more information, please visit our website, www.mosaicsilverspring.org, and we'll see you in the neighborhood.
Good morning, church. My name is Kim Yeagle, and I'm a member here at Mosaic. Today, we're going to be reading Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. Follow along as I read. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him and seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted their voices, saying in Lycaonian, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to learn from your word, to read your scripture. Father, we ask that you would open our hearts. We ask that you would open our minds. We ask that you would use Joel's words to speak to us, Father, that you would teach us what it is you want us to know. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercies every day, such as just the rain that we get. We thank you for all of this, and I ask that you would bless Joel as he brings the word to us. In your precious name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kim. Have you ever put a destination into your phone when you're out driving somewhere and along the way you miss something? Maybe you're in a riveting conversation with others in the car, and so you just miss a turn where it was telling you to turn left, you go straight. Or maybe you find yourself doing multiple things at once. You have to navigate construction and something gets rerouted and you just get spun around. Or texts and phone calls are coming in and so it's distracting you from your destination. But one way or another, it's not uncommon to put a destination into your phone and begin pursuing that only to be caught off guard or to be distracted and to go wrong. And I would imagine that if all of us could gather together, you could text in the ways in which this happened to you, that we could probably multiply the stories of how misplaced we have found ourselves or how turned around we've become in pursuing a destination. We would probably get humorous stories, some frustrating stories, some anger-inducing stories, maybe even some scary stories about how we've got lost or possibly injured along the way. Well, in the journey of faith, the good news of Jesus Christ is being carried out in the book of Acts to the ends of the earth. God is calling people by his Spirit to hear this news of the resurrected Jesus and to turn in faith. Yet, people are missing it. And as this good news travels to different places, to different ethnicities, to different people groups, the reasons why they miss it are being multiplied. And so here, at this point in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas together are traveling to take this news out. And we get to follow along as we see people missing it for very different reasons just in chapter 14. The author of the book of Acts, Luke, I think is turning our attention to the reality that while the good news of Jesus is unchanged all the way back from the first hearers and witnesses of Christ's resurrection to today, that good news of God's grace in Jesus is unchanged. And yet, how people have responded to that news, how it has landed on them, the distractions or things that they're going through in their own particular time have been varied and have often led people to miss it. And so here, Paul and Barnabas, in verses 1 through 7, arrive to the city of Iconium. And they had been following a particular pattern. That is, when they came to a new place, they would go to the synagogue in whatever city or town that would be. If there was an available synagogue, they would go in part because of their own Jewish connections to the people who would gather at synagogue. But also remember that the news of the resurrected Jesus is not just new news as if it came out of nowhere. It is connected to God's Old Testament promises of salvation. And so through the speeches and sermons that we've heard so far through the book of Acts from Peter, remember back in chapter 2, and then Peter again, and then even in chapter 13 from Paul, we get these long unpackings of God's Old Testament promises coming to bear, coming to fruition, full fruition in Jesus. And so they would begin in the synagogue and speak about God's grace and his promises, his covenant promises to his people being poured out in Jesus Christ. And yet, here in Iconium, there was a mixed response. We're told that as they spoke about this in the synagogue, there was a great number of both Jews and Greeks who believed in verse 1, but that there were those who missed it. And they not only missed it, but became an ardent opposition to Paul and Barnabas and to their work. And so they began to see the good news being poured out and some people hearing it and understanding it and believing and others just missing it. And not only missing it, standing in opposition to their work. Yet Paul and Barnabas persevere. We're told that even in the face of this opposition, they remained for a long time in verse 3, speaking boldly for the Lord who bore witness to the word of his grace. And so in the face of opposition, Paul and Barnabas stayed for the sake of the care of the church. For those who had come to believe, Paul and Barnabas didn't want to just head out as soon as someone didn't get it or someone raised an objection, or even in the face of fairly active persecution, Paul and Barnabas stay. It becomes a tension point in all that's going to follow, even in this chapter, of how to make the good news known, but even when not everyone responds in the same way, and how those who are called Christians can continue to grow in their faith and can make this good news known, even in the face of opposition. Well, in verses 5 through 7, persecution ramps up to such a level that after have investing some of their time there, they believe their lives are at risk, and so they move on. They continue their journeys. And in verses 8 through 20, we see them arrive to a new place, to Lystra. And as they arrive there, there's a subtle shift in that pattern. There's no synagogue here, at least as far as we are told. Instead, they show up wherever they arrive in the city, and they make the good news of Jesus known. And in the opening of their arrival in verse 9, as Paul's speaking, he sees that there was a man sitting at his sitting nearby who couldn't use his feet, someone who was disabled, not able to walk. And Paul, seeing that he had faith, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and began to walk. And everyone who was listening saw this happen. And so as Paul and Barnabas are preaching the gospel, they find themselves in a different context outside of a synagogue in a new city, just speaking to all those who can hear. And in the process, they heal a lame man, and others who see it, they begin to miss the message themselves, right? And so they see that this great thing has happened, and yet they make a mistake in how they understand what's going on. Because instead of seeing the connection between Christ's resurrection and the power of the Spirit at work through Paul and Barnabas, they miss the messengers and confuse them for the message. That is, they see the work of God himself through the power of his Spirit, and they assign that power and work to Paul and Barnabas. And so they go, which in the first century world, when you believed that some divine agent, some gods came to town, then there was a sense of obligation. You need to make sacrifices and show some hospitality. And so they begin to do that. But their call was rooted in this mistaken view. So when Paul and Barnabas recognize, oh, wait, you saw that sign, and that fell very much in line with this good news of what Jesus was doing, going back to Jesus' ministry, going back earlier in Acts to when Peter did something very similar in the city of Jerusalem outside the temple. Here, when it's done in Lystra, then they confuse who is doing this work and who's responsible. And so Paul and Barnabas, I think, pick up on this at some point that, wait, they're mistaken in what's going on. They have confused us, the messengers, for being the source or power of the message. And so they call out to them. They tear their clothes, a sign of great distress. They run out and they try to explain, no, you've missed it. Actually, in the opening passages, we see people miss it even though they're very conversant with the Old Testament promises. It's almost as if they're so rooted or stubborn in their view of how God will work that they miss it. Well, here, people are too overzealous to celebrate Paul and Barnabas themselves that they misunderstand the message and so miss it for an entirely different reason, and yet they miss it. And so Paul and Barnabas find themselves calling out to them, tearing their clothes, and calling them to turn to Jesus. Don't miss the one true and living God, The one who has created our world, they call out. The one who's been gracious to us through sending his son, Jesus. The one in whom has been resurrected and we have hope. Paul and Barnabas are calling out to them to not miss it. The inclination to miss the good news of Jesus, it's not bound only to far off places like Iconium or Lystra. It's not bound to the first century. Here in Montgomery County in the 21st century, we can miss the good news of God's grace. The reality of sin still exists in our lives and in our communities in such a way that we can have mistaken views. We can misplace our worship. That is, the ways in which we give our identities or assign our own identities to things. The ways in which we center our own hearts. The ways in which we draw our own sense of worth or value. We can mistakenly do those things outside of God himself, over against God's invitation to us, his gracious offer to be adopted into his family. We can center our lives on maybe our sense of security. If I just take the right steps, if I make the right moves, I'll be comfortable and secure. And that becomes the focus, as if that has value or worth apart from God himself. That would be a mistaken view. Or we can center our identity, our value on beauty or health. We can live lives fueled by sacrifices and protein shakes that are driven by long looks in the mirror that can get us to such a point that our lives center around ourselves and not God. There too, we have a mistaken sense of where we find worth. Or maybe it's a sense of cultural pressure or popularity. We just long to be liked. And so we try to say the right things. We try to say them in the right order so that others will be drawn to us or will like us, and it will give us a lift and a sense of value. But the gospel of grace here this morning calls to you and says to locate your sense of worth in what other people think about you is a misplaced view. It's a mistaken turn. When you have the opportunity to center your worth in God's invaluable grace. Just as I hope when you are driving and take a bad turn or miss a turn or type the destination wrong into your phone, I hope that at some point you realize and that your phone reroutes you to the appropriate destination. So that while you may miss a turn here or there, ultimately you aren't so sidetracked by construction or anything else as to miss the ultimate destination. Well, God's call to Paul and Barnabas was to go out and to suffer for the sake of taking this good news of God's grace to the Gentiles. God's call to the church today, including Mosaic Silver Spring, is to function in a sense like that device, to call out to those who are mistaken in the routes that they've taken, to those who have missed the turns of repentance and faith, and to call to them, hopefully in a way in which they understand, hopefully speaking to the reasons why they have missed it, but in understandable ways to reorient them to the good news of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That is the call for Mosaic Silver Spring here today. May God give us strength and wisdom to continue his mission, his work of bringing the Old Testament promises to all peoples. Amen.